Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Praise the Lord. Good to have each one of you. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Beautiful day outside. Beautiful day inside. Praise the Lord. Cheryl wants to read your praise report to us.
Our car, flat battery on the Auckland, which is freeway as you call it, New Zealand, among congested traffic. Good morning, Brother Thurman. Praise the Lord. I have a great testimony for you. Remember, you ran out of gas, and in our case, we had a flat battery on October 21st on a congested freeway, as you guys called. We call it a motorway or a highway. The traffic was so bad, and moving between 5 and 10 kilometers, the car stopped, and my wife was driving. She started to panic. Lucky, and praise the Lord, we did not get hit from behind from the long weekend holiday. We've been on the road for 3 hours, 10:30 a.m. from Tauranga, where we live. Yvonne, my darling, started to panic, trying to start the car, and it won't start. I looked across at the screen and saw the battery light in red and knew what the trouble was. We were in the middle of the motor, and he means motorway, so I did not panic. I have two options. One, call the tow truck, which will create a lot of trouble on the motorway. Two, second option, Jesus. So I took Jesus. So I said, Father, in the name, I command this engine to start in the name of Jesus now. So I said to Yvonne, start the car. She switched the key on, turned it, and it started. I then said to the Lord, please take us carriage in Lincoln Road so we can get help. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We were 22 kilometers to get to where we wanted to go. We got to a service petrol station, parked the car, and stopped. I got out, pushed the bonnet up, I guess that means the hood, and checked the generator because I know that's where the trouble is. There was no belt. I found also the belt for the air conditioner was also gone. To cut things short, we ordered a tow truck to take us to the auto electrician's shop and have them put the generator belt on for us. They were curious how we got the car with flat battery to start. I told them, and they just looked at me in a funny way. You know what I mean, and never said a word.
Oh.
Yeah, that Sunday in church back home, I stood up in front of the church and gave a testimony during the announcement time. We have an awesome, good, and mighty God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Bless and bye for now. Kim and Yvonne Multi in New Zealand.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
That's neat. All right. Well, y'all know we're in the Christmas season, and we have several ladies that are helping make things and give things. We have Paula Sue, raise your hand here. She's making cakes, but we don't have any available, or we do? They're sold. Okay, so if you want a cake, and she has several flavors, she has strawberry and lemon and regular pound cake, and then next week she's going to have two mango pound cakes, and if you want dibs on it, you better tell her now. Her friend's making those from scratch.
This is causing people to get to church on time.
And they're gaining weight, too. Not me, though. Okay. And so,
praise the Lord.
Also, Grace over here, raise your hand, Grace. She's making banana pudding from scratch, her old-fashioned grandma recipe, and she left, I think she had four, two were sold over last week. We bought two, and we ate all of them.
Amen. So, they were really good, too.
They were really good.
Really good.
All right, and then Dee, raise your hand, Dee. Dee back there, now you have one chocolate, no, the lady took the chocolate pie, right? Both? Okay, she makes chocolate pies from scratch, and both of them are sold already. In fact, when they walked in, when heard there was a chocolate pie, left. Well, the lady said, I want it, and that's the end of the chocolate pies. But she's also making tea towels. If you want to place an order for embroidered tea towels, Gracie got some. And then I also, she's not making them anymore unless she comes up with some special things. Pillowcases that say love you and love you more. But we'll have to see what works on that. Okay, so far we've raised $32,569. That's where we are.
Amen.
So far.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And then Grace, this week.
Lord.
Yes, praise God. Grace this week sent me their list, and I just scanned skimmed over it because I'm not prepared to deal with it yet. But I did buy the Six Flags tickets on the belief that y'all are going to give me some money.
That's what you call walking by faith.
That is. Walking by faith and knowing that I have my husband to lean back on. If I have to, lean really hard on him, I can do that. Anyway, so I did buy the 75-season tickets for passes for Six Flags. They were $65 a piece, so that's over $4,000. Clipping probably 48, something like that. They sent me the contract. I signed it. So there you go, honey.
Praise the Lord. No big deal.
You know, God owns all the cattle on a thousand hills, and he says, when you give to the poor, you're lending to God. I can't think of anything better to do myself. And so we have all the gifts. Oh, and I did have another good thing that happened this week. The Grapevine Chamber of Commerce went to the Grapevine High School, and the Lady Mustang sports teams are buying several gifts. I had two girls that needed some James Avery rings, and they didn't know their sizes. One needed $100, the other needed $200. They're providing that. They're also providing, one girl wanted a purple, extra small leather jacket. They're providing that. Two of the girls are graduating, Sarah and Natalie, and they're going to senior prom. And they, Christy, my daughter, she has a bridal shop, so she's giving them their prom dresses. But we needed, yeah, you can give her a clap. And so, but we needed shoes, bag, gloves, limo, whatever you need for prom. So the girls are also providing that at Grapevine High School. And that's all they're doing. The other things that I have left, those same two girls need senior trip donations. So I don't even know what a senior trip costs. I have no clue. And then I had two more gifts. One was guitar lessons for Ashley, who was 15. So I called this one guitar person, Keller, who told me to call this Christian guitar person at Track Music Academy. And he said he's a really good man, really good Christian. So I call him, and Clay calls me back while we're shopping in, where were we? Old Navy, that's where we were. Yeah, I got a shirt for 47 cents at Old Navy, a $36 shirt, and I took it. I just figured my grandson couldn't handle pink and blue, so I took it. It looks really nice. But anyway, Clay calls me while we're wandering around, you know, and he says, well, you know, if it was piano or voice, I would do it for free, because that's his specialty. And he said, but, you know, I have to pay my guitar people and everything. And I said, well, okay. I said, just figure a couple $100 and then let me know how many lessons. He said, well, let me put my calculator on it and everything. And I said, okay, great. So he wanted to do some kind of scholarship, but I don't know what we're going to work out. And then the other one was for 8-year-old, is it Anna? It's not Anna. Is it Anna? I don't think so. I can't remember. Anyway, an 8-year-old wants gymnastic and cheer scholarships to the ASI gymnast place in Keller. So I call them and I talk to them, and they tell me, I said, can somebody give us a scholarship for this foster child? And they said, well, you know, I'm not the person that decides, but I know the person that decides, so send an email and I'll get it to them. And I said, great. So I wrote the request and put our little, you know, flyer with it, and we'll see what God does with that. But that's, we're at the end. You should see the beautiful room that Sharon and Jenny fixed our room up. I came out early one morning and Sharon is in there ordering everybody to come into the ministry library to take all the presents out and then to go put them all back in, because you couldn't even walk in there. It was like chaos, you know. And they were like, well, but I have this to do. And she said, you're going to go do this. So everyone obeyed. Good thing. And so they did. They took everything out. And I'm sitting there. I was making, my uncle died, and I was making plane reservations to go to Florida. And so in a minute, I'd see them all walking out. And in a minute, I'd see them all walking back in. And, I mean, it's beautiful. It's like layered. It's layered. The room is layered. It's just beautiful. So we're getting there. So I still need money, obviously. And the grace, normally I give grace at least $30,000 worth of stuff. And then the Dallas Children's Charity, I contacted him, then he contacted me back and said, you know, obviously they're going to give us toys again this year. Last year they gave us 499 toys. I'm going to ask for 1,000 this year, because I believe they'll give it to us. If I ask, they'll give it to us. And then Justin Community Closet, she's getting her list. Obviously, they still want toys, but they have needs for, like, the infant kids from 2 to 5. toddlers, I guess I should say. And there's just all kinds of people. So if you want to give, be sure you notate on your envelope or your check children or Christmas so that we know where it goes. Otherwise, it goes into the regular fund. And if we've wrapped everything but just a few big presents, and it's great. God's good, and we're almost there.
Amen.
As far as finishing Christ Haven, thank you, Jesus. And we appreciate all everybody's help, but send money. Send money home.
Oh, goodness gracious, praise the Lord. Oh, goodness, that's the way it is, isn't it? Send money home, you know, so that's the way life is. So thank you, Lord, for sending money home.
Yeah,
so he's so wonderful to meet all of our needs and everything. He just blesses us so abundantly, and I'm so grateful that we are attached to the King of Kings. And for those of you that are giving your gifts for the Tabernacles, Feast of Tabernacles, you know, we're at the end of all that. This is the last of the feast, and this year could be the best, you know, I believe. I gave my gift a couple of weeks ago because I believe that this is going to be the most awesome gift that God's ever going to give. Now, I don't know how he's going to give it to you. No telling. There's no telling. But he will give. Does the Lord say give and it should be given to you? I mean, we all know that you can't outgive God. You know, so if you don't give, just like somebody, I was talking to somebody last night, and they said something about God answering a prayer. And I said something about, well, there's only one prayer that God can't answer. And they said, oh, there is such a thing? And I said, yes. The prayer that you do not pray, he cannot answer. And so many people today, and what really touches my heart, so many people in the church won't pray. I mean, they won't pray and believe. You know, I mean, I just stand in awe that I think about that under normal conditions, when we go to church, and there's lots of good Christian people. I've been associated with lots of good Christian people that never, ever, ever called on God to do something special for them. They just never thought about it. You know, you never saw anybody else do it at church, so why should I do it? You know, and I think about when you start teaching people the principles of the kingdom, it's what we have, what he's given to us. When you start being taught that these prayers are for you, it gives me great pleasure to give to you, my children, the kingdom. And then it gives me great pleasure to give you the keys to the kingdom. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful. But you know, how many people in the church never heard these things? I mean, I was one of them. You know, I went to a Baptist church, and you know, and we had a great pastor, and everybody loved God, but we didn't believe these wonderful promises. But when you start hearing these things and you start looking and saying, wait a minute, my Bible says what he's saying. In fact, I had a meeting with a mother and a young boy. They called, in fact, they got Jenny this last week. When they called in, they got Jenny and this young boy, he's only 24. And the diagnosis is he has cancer in his leg, and it has now worked up into his lungs, and there's only one alternative, and that's to cut off his right leg. Now, at 24, that doesn't appeal to me at all. So anyway, Jenny, when they called down here, I don't know how they found out about us, but when they got called, they got Jenny, and Jenny suggested, you know, they said, we want to come to a healing school. And Jenny said, well, if it's this critical, maybe you need to come early. And they said, well, would that be possible? And she said, well, let me talk to Pastor and we'll see what he can do. So when they come and told me, I said, sure, tell him to come down tomorrow. If I got a 24-year-old boy that's going to lose his leg, I'll take the day off to get this boy healed. Isn't that true? I mean, I want that boy healed. So anyway, in fact, I'll just tell you a worldly thing. Franz up here, back in the days, he used to have an air conditioning company. And if somebody called him and he didn't even know, and it was hot, he wouldn't make them wait 2 weeks to come work on their air conditioner, would you, Franz?
I'd pray to.
Yeah. But you know, it's amazing how we don't do that. So anyway, Jenny told come in, and I said, yeah, just tell them to come down. I'll do a private class for them, just the two of them. Said, come on down. So they did. They came down the next day. They got them a ticket, and they got on an airplane, and they came down here. And we sat down right here in the church, and we started talking about, are you a Christian? Yes. Do you go to church? Well, I used to. My daddy's a pastor of a church. But what happened? When did this start? Well, when I was 18. What did you do that was sin? That lets you fall from grace at 18. What did you do? Well, I kind of got to thinking, you know, I don't need God. Mom and Dad raised me up in church, but I don't need God. I can do this on my own. Have you ever seen any young boys like that?
Oh, yeah.
If you're a young boy, you've probably been one of those. So he thought, I can do this all on my own. Now then, when he steps outside of grace, he falls back under law. And that's where sickness and disease is at, under law. So he don't know, I mean, he's getting bad, he's getting worse, he's getting sicker, and the pain and all kinds of stuff. And so naturally, if you're in the world, where do you go for your answers? To the doctors, of course, to the doctors. So you go to the doctors, and of course, this wonderful diagnosis for a 24-year-old boy, you know, that's a good-looking, young, handsome boy, about this tall, you know, looks like he weighs about 170 pounds, that he's just on fire, but he's left Jesus. And the doctor comes in and does a diagnosis of you and checks you and says, I'm sorry, son, we're going to have to cut off your right leg. That ain't what he wanted to hear. That's not what he wanted to hear. So that's when he decided to get with his mother. And of course, you know, devotionals in the mornings. Mom, you and Dad are kind of old fogey. You know, y'all can do your devotional. I don't need God. Yes, I'm a son. I'm a son of God, but I don't need God. You know, sons think that. Sometimes sons think they don't need Dad and Mom because, you know, I'm now 18 or 19 years old, and Mom and Dad, you know, they're 650 or 40 or whatever, 30, and they're over the hill, and, you know, they're just old fogey. They don't understand what's going on. I don't need God. And so I told him, I said, son, when you were 18 and you decided you didn't need God and you walked away, I said, God spoke to you again and again, and you didn't recognize it. He tried his best to get you to come back, and you would not. So I said, did anything jump off the page at you as you somebody give you my teachings to listen to? He said, yes. He said, I started listening to some of your teaching about healing. He said, I'd never heard anything about healing. He said, I started listening to healing and said, I listened and said, when we get down to Matthew 18, 21 through 35, I heard you say, if you got any kind of bitterness or unforgiveness toward anyone, God the Father will send a tormenting spirit to torment you, and you will come down with some kind of terrible sickness or disease. He said, that can't be in the Bible. There is no way God, a loving God, would do something like that. So he said, I backed up the tape and found the reference, and I went over and opened my Bible to Matthew 18, 21 through 35, and he said, lo and behold, your Bible said exactly what you said, and my Bible said the same thing. If I get into bitterness or unforgiveness toward people, and if I don't forgive everybody from my heart, God the Father will turn me over to a tormenting spirit. He said, Thurman, I never knew that was in the Bible, but it's in my book. How long has that been in the book?
At least
a couple of thousand years, right? As a son that's a pastor's son that's going and sitting in church, you see what we think about when we're in church? Some boys, they're sitting there in church and you You think, Bobby, Jack, whatever. Yes, 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 Pastor, you calling me out? Yes. What did I just say? Oh, well, it was really good, Pastor. No, but what did I say? Well, ask the other one. Ask my brother. He'll tell you. What were they doing while I was teaching? They're doing the same thing lots of us do. We're thinking about something else in another world. And so, but God was trying to get your attention and you wasn't listening. So he speaks to you again and again and you don't listen. I said, after you don't listen, then he sends dreams and visions. I said, have you had any dreams? He said, I've had some nightmares. I said, son, that's God. God is trying his best to terrify you and scare you back into the kingdom. And you ain't listening. He said, where did you learn all of this? I said, spending hours and hours and hours praying over this book. And then reading this book out loud and letting God talk to me through this book. He said, there it is, it's clear. And so he said, you know what I did? I said, son, I have no idea what you did. He said, I got up off of my bed. I went in there and I got on my knees and I began to pour out my heart and I began to forgive everybody I had a grudge against. Now see, before me forgive you, what do you mean? You don't know what you did to me. I will never forgive you. Oh yeah? When God puts that pain on you, put that hurt on you, and the doctors say you're going to have your leg cut off, now you're looking for somebody else that can help you, and there's only one, and that's the Lord. And when the Lord tells you, now just like he said in his word, if you don't forgive everybody from your heart, I, the Father, will send a tormenting spirit to torment you until you pay all you owe me. I don't know where that verse has been hiding. But let me tell you, that verse in this boy's world has been hiding. But he began to see and he began to understand. I began to take him to promises in the Word and he repented of all of his sins and everything. I mean, we had a real great afternoon. We had a private healing school right here just for that boy and his mother. It's amazing. And then I told him, I said, now then, do you believe these things that I'm showing you? He said, I do. I said, well, then you're healed, aren't you? He said, yes, Jesus. I said, he sent his word and healed you. He was just ecstatic. And I said, wow, praise the Lord. I said, so now then, I said, does it make it a little easier to obey God and to obey mother and daddy? I said, you know, there's a scripture in the word that says, children, obey your parents in all things. Children, or all of us children, listen. Now then, that's for us older children too. We're supposed to obey who? We're supposed to obey God. Our younger children are supposed to obey us, the parents. The Lord says, children, obey your parents in all things so it may go well with you. And do you love being well?
Yeah.
I love being well. Don't you, Franz? Yeah. Hey, I love being well. And that you may have a long life. Now, you know, when you're, I look at these boys over here, when you're young, 15, 18, 21, 25, whatever, when you're young like these young boys over here, you know, a long life don't mean much to you because you're healthy and you can do anything. But if they're lucky, they're going to get old like you and me, right, Rod? If they're lucky. If they're lucky. If they obey God and do what he says, they'll get to live a long, healthy life, right? So anyway, we prayed for the boy. He repented of all of his sins. I prayed for the boy, and I told him, I said, I guarantee you're healed. Guarantee it. So anyway, they left, and they said, well, we're going to spend a night in town and then go home tomorrow afternoon at 6 o'clock. I told him, I said, any time you don't know what to do in the course of a day, take Jeremiah 33:3 and ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do today? I said, Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. Well, the next afternoon, we were all just sitting around here resting yesterday afternoon, and this car pulls up out there and it's this mother and this son. And I said, oh, y'all are coming back? I thought you were leaving this afternoon. She said, we are at 4 o'clock. We have to be down at 4 o'clock, but we have time. And so said, I woke up this morning, and I quoted Jeremiah 33:3, and I said, Lord, what should we do today? And said, he spoke to me clear, said, go back to see Pastor Thurman. So she said, I don't know what you have for us, but let's just sit down here and see what you've got. So we did another 2-hour healing school. It's amazing. And in the process of that, her husband, all of a sudden, we're talking about praying for people. Who would ever believe that we could pray about everything? Tony, can we pray about everything? And you know that works now, don't you? You see, Tony, whatever he hurt his arm or shoulder or whatever it was that time, up until that time, if he got hurt anyway, he would always go to the doctor. But now he's been hearing the word being taught. So he decides to stand on God's word. And you did, and the Lord healed your arm without a doctor, didn't he, Tony?
That's right.
Isn't that amazing? What can God do?
Anything
you can believe him for. Now then, if you pray and you don't believe, it don't work. You got to pray and believe. But anyway, as we're praying about different things, sitting out in the swing yesterday, this mother, she got a revelation. She jumped up and she says, Pastor, that scripture you just quoted, Matthew 18:19. It said, if two of us on earth agree about anything, is that what it says?
Yes.
She said, my husband has diabetes. Now he's the pastor of a church, but he has diabetes. She said, could we take that scripture and me and you agree for my husband that he would get well? Now, do you think that's possible?
Oh, yeah.
Now you see why God sent her back out here.
Yeah.
So we stood there and prayed over her husband, remitted his sins and all that stuff. And she says, you know, there's something really unique about this whole trip. I said, what's that? She said, this morning when we got up at the hotel, I just kind of mentioned, son, would you like to do a little Bible study with mom this morning? He said, yes, mother, let's do it. He said, up until now, he's not been like that. I don't want to do that. Y'all do that. But all of a sudden, and of course, when she said that, I said, son, you have really learned some good things this trip, have you not? He said, sir, I have absolutely learned some wonderful things. And I said, are you going to be a better boy from now on? He said, yes, sir. I said, so when your mom and dad ask you to do something, you're going to do it. You're going to go to church and you're going to do everything God says in that word, are you not? He said, I guarantee I'm going to. Now then, does God know how to get your attention?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, he can get your attention. Well, let's look at that. Let's go into the scripture. And I want to start today in Luke. Let's go to Luke and let's go to the King James Bible. Let's go to Luke 13. And let's look, verse 1, Luke 13, 1, and let's look at there. I were present at that season. I told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. That doesn't sound too bad, but there's obviously something wrong with what they're doing. Verse 2, let's go to verse 2. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? Now, you know, stop and think about what we're just talking about here. Most of the time, we never read a scripture like this and think about what it's saying. Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. In other words, they suffered something. But now then, are they a greater sinner than anybody else? Really not. You know, they're sinners. So let's go to verse 3 and let's look and see what verse 3 says. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall also likewise perish. Just meditate on that a minute. if these people done something wrong and it cost them their life, what if you do something wrong? Can it cost you your life? That's what he's trying to tell us here. He said, now these other guys over here, they're no more a sinner than you are. He said, nay, they're not greater sinners than you are. But except ye repent, ye shall, how many of us? We shall all likewise perish. So, if the Lord tells us this, if we're like this young boy that came down here that had the problem with his leg, and we find out that God said in his word that if you hold unforgiveness and bitterness against anybody, and he said, I had lots of them, that God, the Father, would send a tormenting spirit to torment me. I mean, he said, Thurman, that scripture says that tormenting spirit's going to hurt me. He said, you know, I have never, ever, ever heard anybody preach the negative side of God before in my life. This is the first time for me, he said. Well, he's only 24. I told him, when I was 24, I didn't know none of these things either. But I said, it is written, isn't it? He said, sir, it is written. And he said, the more I read this book, the more I see and the more I understand how this thing works. I said, well, at 24, you're a fortunate young man. You're learning how this thing works. I tell you no, but except you repent, you shall also likewise perish. You reckon God's trying to tell us to repent? What if we get into some kind of sin? As Dave talked about a while ago, what if we fall from grace somehow? What if we do that? Well, once we fall from grace, we fall back under the law. And now the demons, they love it because they have legal right to do whatever they want to do to you. And that's where sickness and disease and everything else comes. And they may not hit you instantly. It may take a week or a month or a year. You never know how long it's going to take for this to happen. Or it may take years. You know, I've seen people that get out, that would fall from grace, get away from God, and God would try his best to call them back for 5 or 10 years, and they never would come back. And if they didn't, they commit the sin unto death and they die. But, you know, when you say, nay, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So if we get into any kind of bitterness or unforgiveness or sin, any kind of sin, you get into sin. I mean, just like I've told you before about the barber here a while back that I went in to have a haircut, and this lady is a lady barber, and she was new there. And I asked her, was she a Christian? And she said, yes, I am. I said, do you go to church? She said, yeah, over in Denton. I said, well, good. I said, if you're a Christian and you're a daughter of the King, I said, and you're going to church, I said, more than likely God doing something good in your life. I said, is God doing anything good in your life? She said, oh, yeah, I just had my second son. I said, well, praise the Lord. Was he born normal? She said, oh, yeah, he's normal. He's healthy. I said, well, praise God. I said, how long have you been married? Oh, I'm not married. I've never been married. I said, now, wait a minute. You just told me that you were a Christian. And I said, the Word of God says Christians are to have, there's no sexual immorality to be found among the children of God. I said, so, you know, if you're a Christian, I said, you're breaking God's rules. And I said, you know, technically speaking, I said, you could have the enemy come up on you or on them children at any time, and anything could happen. I mean, you could have a car wreck. You know, one of your kids could come down sick. I mean, I've seen this over and over and over. And I said, it's all because you're living in sin. And she said, well, you know, God, he's a merciful God. He will forgive me. I said, yeah. I said, he will forgive you if you ask. But I said, when you ask, then I said, the woman that was caught in adultery, when she came and repented of her sins, what did he tell her? Now, woman, I forgive you, but go and sin no more. Yeah, that's exactly what he told her. So since he never changes, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. I said, when you repent, you got to quit doing what you're doing. That means you can't go back home and go back to bed with that boy tonight. Boy, did she get mad at me. I mean, she quit cutting my hair and she walked outside. And so I sat there and waited a few minutes. She come back in and she finished cutting my hair, and I got up and went to walk out. And as I did, the owner of the place walked, a lady owns the place. She walked out behind me, and just as I got outside, she said, "Sir," I turned around, said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Every time you come in here, you offend somebody in my barbershop." She said, "I would appreciate it if you would stop talking about these kind of things in my barbershop." Said, "You need to do what you do in love." I said, "Ma'am, I love that girl in there. I don't even know her, but I love her, and I'm telling her the truth because I love her." I said, "Now, if I didn't love none of y'all," I said, from what's going on here and the way y'all are seeing the Bible, I said, "Probably everybody in this barbershop, although some of you may think you're Christians," I said, "all of you are on a track to hell, every one of you." And I said, "The reason I do what I do is because I do love you." I said, "If I didn't love you, I would just come in, get my hair cut, and go do my own thing. And I'd let everybody just die and go to hell. I got heaven made. I have no problem. I know where I'm going." But I said, "I want everybody to go where I'm going." And she said, "Well, I never thought about it like that." I said, "You know what you need to do?" She said, "What's that?" I said, "You're the owner of this place, right?" And she said, "Yes." I said, y'all need to come in an hour early on Tuesday morning. And y'all need to read. Just don't study it. Just read it. Get you a NLT or a Living Bible or something that's really easy to read. And then y'all sit down and let somebody read for 15 minutes. And then move to another one and let somebody else read for 15 minutes. I said, "Y'all need to read the Bible for just 1 hour, one day a week, and see if it won't change your life forever." You think that was good advice?
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, the other day I was back down there and I said, "Well, how's things going? Y'all still doing that Bible study?" And the girl that cut my hair was gone. She was not there. She'd even moved on or something. But I said, "Are you still having your Bible study?" She said, "We are. We're having one." I said, "Are you learning anything?" She said, "Mr. Scrivener, it's unbelievable what's in that book." I said, "Yes, ma'am, it is unbelievable what's in that book." Now then, let me tell you for sure, if you start confronting even the church, forget about the world, you start confronting the church with the sins of the church, you're going to offend a bunch of them. They don't think that they're going to think, just like Dave talked about a while ago, that young boy that was having no trouble with Joseph Prince. Let me tell you what, that boy is a faith teacher on grace, and he does a good job. There's a couple of areas that he and I don't agree with, but that's okay. But most of the areas he preaches, I agree with him 100%. He is a good grace teacher. You know, and it's wonderful to learn what he's learned. It took me a long time to learn that. But he is a good grace teacher, and he loves God, you know, and he's just a little bit off base, just one or two little places, but that's okay. You know, I'm not going to give him a hard time for that because, you know, anyway, some people give me a hard time for what I teach about healing. I mean, they really get upset when I say, "Well, the reason your son or daughter is sick is because there's a sin in your life." You want to really light some people's fire, just tell them their kids are sick because of their sin. And just like that man that come down here a while back, he walked in, and I'll never forget this guy because he come in by himself, and he had three beautiful little girls. I mean, they were just little things. Probably the oldest one about 8, 9, something, and then right on down the steps. He said, "I said, I've never seen you here, sir." And he said, "No." He said, "Somebody told me you have a healing church here and that God heals people here." And I said, "Yes, sir, he does a lot." And he says, "Well, I want you to pray for my three daughters. All three of them are sick." I said, "Okay." I said, "How long have they been sick?" He said, "About 6 months. Allergies, asthmas, so on and so forth. Haven't had in a doctor's office on a regular basis." And he said, "It's costing me a lot of money, and I need them to be healed." I said, "Okay." I said, "So where's your wife?" He said, "She don't come with me anymore." I said, what's wrong? You and her having problems? He said, yes, we don't get along anymore. And I said, so how long has this been going on? He said, about 6 months. Oh, I said, the Holy Spirit did something there, didn't he? He said, now, wait a minute. Are you telling me that my three girls are sick with allergies and asthmas because me and my wife's not getting along? I said, absolutely. You and her have an unforgiveness toward each other. And God the Father has sent a tormenting spirit to your children to make you sick, to try to get your attention off of yourselves so you'll come back to your children, so you'll get right with God and with Him and change things. He said, I never thought about that, never even thought about that. I said, I'll tell you how to get your kids healed, and I won't even have to pray for them. I said, if you will promise right here, standing right here right now today, you'll say, God, I forgive my wife, and I ask you to forgive me. And I promise I'll walk in love with my wife. I'll go back home and get things right with her. We will get back and do things your way, and we'll walk in love together. I said, are you willing to do that? And I said, now, before you answer, I'm going to tell you that if you say yes, your three children will all three get healed, and I won't even have to pray for them. But if you say no, there's no telling what may happen to your children. He said, well, I don't want that to happen. So I told him, okay. So I said, just repent. So he did. He repented. And I told him now, after he repented and told God he's sorry that he'd walk in love with his wife, I said, now, I'll tell you what. You go home to your wife, and you tell your wife you're sorry, and you'll love her, and you and her get along okay. And I says, if these children continue to have allergies and asthmas, bring them back to me, and I'll pray for them. But I believe with all my heart that if you will just get back right with God, that I won't even have to pray, God will heal those three girls for you. And guess what? God healed those three girls for that man. Does God's word mean what it says? Wow. Except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Does any of us want to perish? Do we want our children to perish? No. So what do we have to do to have no to get to walk in that faith, that grace lane where we're talking about? We have to walk in love with everybody. Is that right? Does it pay good dividends, Miss Betty, to walk in faith and grace? It does. It does. Let's go to the next verse. Let's see what number four says. Are those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell? Wait a minute. Wow. We just saw one way that people got killed and hurt and everything. And he's talking about sin doing that. Then he comes over here and then there's 18 more upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell. Any of y'all remember just a few months ago that over here in Argyle they were building a school? And the building fell. They had the steel structure up and it killed several men. Now then, you know, it would be interesting, really interesting if you could do this. If you could have been there that morning and walking around the site. Because I've built a lot of buildings in a lot of places all over this world, and it is absolutely nothing. In fact, I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. I was building a building in New Orleans, and I was the project manager, and there was a delivery boy come in a delivery truck, and he pulled up out there, and when he pulled up out there, he started unloading his stuff, and he come over and said, hey, who's the boss here? And I said, well, I am. I'm running the show. What do you need? He said, I got this delivery here. Need to deliver this blankety-blank stuff. Where do you want to blankety-blank put this stuff? You know, so, oh, my goodness gracious. Okay, so after we get over there and we get the stuff off on the dock, okay, have a blankety-blank good day. And I said, hey, son, do you ever heard about this Jesus that you're taking his name in vain? You ever heard about him? No. I said, where'd you learn to do that? From other guys. I said, do you know that the Word of God says that you're never to use the Lord's name in vain because you will not go unpunished? He said, what? I never heard of such a thing. I said, well, that doesn't surprise me. He said, but see, we started talking about Jesus a little bit there, and he finally said, well, sir, I'd love to talk with you more about this. But he said, I just ain't got time. I got all this stuff to deliver today. I got to get it done. So I got to go. I said, okay, I understand. But I said, I'm going to be over here at the Quality Inn Hotel right up the road here on the right. I'm in room 250. And I said, if you want to know more about Jesus, anytime after 6 o'clock this afternoon, come back over there and I'll tell you all about this Jesus. Okay, he said, I'll see you at 6 o'clock. Okay, now at this point, I had never led anybody to Christ in my life. And that morning I'd prayed, Lord, use me for your glory. Lord, what is it we want to do today? Who do we want to win into the kingdom? Lord, use me. I want to be used for your glory. Well, at 6 o'clock when we got through working there, I didn't even go eat because I was afraid I'd miss this kid. So I went over to the hotel room and I sat there and I sat there and our 9 o'clock came and nobody had come. He said he'd be there right after 6. So anyway, I was waiting on him and he never showed up. And so all of a sudden I'm getting to the point where I think, well, this ain't going to work. It just ain't going to work. And all of a sudden, I mean, I like to fainted. I thought there ain't nobody in the world knows I'm in this room at 9 o'clock at night except me and that boy Jesus. I said, surely that's not him coming at this time of night. But I walked over and opened the door and that was him. He said, hey, he said, I was a little late, got tied up in a bunch of deliveries, but I want to know more about this Jesus. Can I come in? I said, come on in, son. We sat there for the next 2 hours. We read every scripture I had highlighted. I didn't know anything by memory, so I had everything written down. Guaranteed. And after about an hour or 2 hours or whatever, talking to him about Jesus and who he was and what he was doing and how you have to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, I finally got to the point. I said, well, I wonder if he's heard enough. And I said, son, this Jesus I've been talking about, would you like to accept him as Lord and Savior? He said, yes, I would. And I thought, wow, that my first convert. And so anyway, I talked to him about Jesus and led him to Christ and got him to pray the prayer of faith and everything and thanked the Lord for doing it. And then he went out there just bubbling happy and he goes off and leaves. And of course, after he leaves, the enemy, you know how the enemy works, right? That's not real. That kid, he just had a high, but he didn't really accept Jesus just because of what you showed him. That wasn't real. So anyway, I didn't sleep much that night. Next morning, I got up and went to work. I'm out there on the dock, and there's another guy comes in, delivery guy, and he's using some profanity. And all of a sudden, this same kid that I led to Christ yesterday, he comes in with a delivery. He backs up there to the dock and gets, I said, well, good morning, young man. How are you doing? He said, I am doing great. Praise the Lord. I thought, wow. And then all of a sudden, this one guy over here starts using the name of Jesus again. He said, mister, do you know that Jesus? And he says, no, I don't. He said, let me tell you about him. And I later found out that several years later that when I went back down to New Orleans after we finished that building, somebody told me, said, that kid that was a delivery boy that you led to Christ there said he's went to seminary and he's now a missionary in Africa. You know, so do we have any idea of what God can do if we just say, here am I, Lord, send me? You know, he can do such wonderful things. He is such an awesome God. But anyway, all out of all that, I got to see the Lord deliver those boys. And that really, when you talk about Jesus around the sites that you're working, it's amazing the number of men, you know, that will come and talk to you about Jesus. But sometimes men are using the Lord's name in vain, and there is nobody to tell them about Jesus. And so I've been around many a site where men use foul words, foul profanity, or they're talking about the pornography they looked at last night or who they slept with last night while their wife was out of town or all kinds of crazy things. But he says there are those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them. The tower fell and killed them. Do we have those kind of things happening everywhere? Yeah. Some kind of accidents, you know, I mean, car wrecks. And to think, when you really begin to understand the only explanation the world has for this, well, we live in a fallen world. That's the only explanation they have. But that's not true. We do live in a fallen world. But the reason we have all these problems is because of sin. I mean, sin happens because, just like these two scriptures, these two sets of scriptures we're reading here, he says, are those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all those that in Jerusalem? Verse 5. I tell you, no. But except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. So if I'm lying to somebody on a regular basis, if I'm running around with people I shouldn't be running around with, if I'm doing anything, if I'm living in sin, I am setting myself up for some kind of destruction. A car wreck? I can remember a woman that I know very well that had been prayed for many, many times and could not get healed. She came to one of my healing classes. She listened, sat there for 4 hours listening to me teach these principles of the kingdom. Then she came up for prayer. She said, Pastor, I never heard the word of God presented like this, but what you teach and what it says is the same thing. So she said, I want you to know I've been prayed for many times, and I've never been able to get healed. I said, well, how long you had the problem? She told me how many years she'd had the problem. Years. I told her, I said, let's go back to the year that it started. How many years ago? So we go all the way back to where it started. I said, right there, you did something that was sin that opened the door to the tormenting spirits. What did you do? Oh, my goodness. Immediately, just like that, the Holy Spirit convicted her of a sin she had committed. She had moved in with a young boy for a little while. Now, everybody knows it's okay to move in with a young boy if you're a girl. Oh, you don't agree with that, Kim? It's not okay, is it? See? Now, see, the world and the television will tell you it's okay. But God won't. He doesn't tell you it's okay. In fact, he tells you it is a sin. And so that this girl had moved in just for a little while. And just in that little while, she was involved in a car wreck that caused a whiplash with her back and messed up her back. And so she's been in excruciating pain all these years. I told her, I said, there's your problem. I said, you've got to repent for that. She said, nobody ever told me. Did the scripture say, except ye repent? Is that what it said? You shall also all likewise perish? I told her, I said, you got to repent. So she said, well, okay, I have no problem with that. So she repented. I said, now then, what scripture did you use to base your faith on? She said, I never used a scripture. I said, God watches over his word to perform his word in Jeremiah 1:12. If God watches over his word to perform his word, Jeremiah 1:12, then if he watches over the word, don't you think we ought to use a scripture? So what scripture would you use if you were going to, you were dealing with this once the girl got her sin taken care of? What scripture would you use? Kim, I can ask you. I know what your favorite one is. Kim will say Matthew 18:19. Now, Matthew 18:19 says, why don't you quote that for us too? If just two or three, just two or three of us are gathered together and we agree about anything, it's done. Is that what he said? So I told her, I said, okay, we'll use that as a something to base our faith on for your healing. So we used Matthew 18:19. And then I said, okay, now then, nobody has ever prayed for you in faith. So I said, I'm going to pray for you in faith, and I'm going to guarantee you, girl, that mine and your Jesus is going to heal your body, your back. And we prayed that prayer of faith, and then the last thing that you got to do is what? Thank the Lord. So we thanked him for his word. We thanked him for healing her body. And guess what happened to that girl? She got healed. And that's been 15 years ago, I guess, and she's been healed ever since. Isn't that something? How simple it is, huh? Except you repent, you shall also perish. I mean, there's people out here that we have no idea the reason we are sick is because we got some kind of a sin. Just when that young boy saw that scripture, it was no problem whatsoever for that young boy to get on his knees and say, Lord, I am so sorry. I mean, after the doctor told you he's going to cut your leg off next Thursday and you're 24 years old, let me tell you, it would be easy to forgive, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? I can't even imagine having a leg cut off. Can you? No, I don't even want to think about that. So, but anyway, praise. Do you all realize that when we prayed for that boy and the Lord healed that boy the other day, that is three people in the last 3 months. I guess it hadn't been over a month, 3 months since we was in something like that. Yeah, in Des Moines. What, about 3 months or something? 4 months ago, okay. So in the last 4 months, we have seen two young men and one older grandmother that had been given the diagnosis you're going to have to cut off their leg to the surgery. And every one of those people, Jesus has healed. Every one of them. Do we serve an awesome God? So what does he tell us to do? Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. If you don't repent, you're going to perish just like the rest of them. I don't want to perish like the rest of them. Do you? So, Lord, it ain't no problem for me to repent. I get rid of. In fact, I'll get tickled at Cheryl. Whenever Cheryl, before she was my wife, we were over, and that's the meeting that Kim got healed in on her back. I get tickled. We had all kinds of funny, strange things happen that day. But anyway, the Lord spoke to me that day, and I said, the Lord has never done this before. But I said, he just spoke to me and told me that several of his people have pain in their body, and he wants you to come up here and for me to touch you, and he's going to heal you. So I said, just come up. And so, man, I turned and looked, and there must have been 25 people gathering over here on the side. They're coming down here, and I thought, wow, that's a bunch of people. So I get them up here, and I said, now, Lord, I don't know what to do here. You just bring them up, and you'll heal them. So I just told him, I said, just close your eyes, put your hands down by your side, and I'll just start praying over you and touching you, and when the pain goes away, go sit down. So it took anywhere from a minute to 5 or 10 minutes, and then every one of them, and then everybody was going and sitting down. Cheryl said, I didn't have a pain in my body, but I'm looking all over because I want to get prayed for. When you see God working, everybody wants in on it, right? And I just think that day, in fact, Cheryl, she never did come up that day. But Kim didn't come up that day either because she was afraid of what might happen. And her and Scott, her husband, had never seen anything like this. And so, and of course, whenever I prayed, and she's sitting back there at the seat, and I'm just praying over people here. Obviously, that power, as I'm touching people and whatever, is going all the way back to Kim. Because Kim got healed of her back injury that day, and that's been years ago, and she's never had another back pain, right? Isn't God good? He's an awesome God. I love serving the Lord. Except you repent. So is it easy for us to repent? Yes, Lord, we repent. And he said, if you don't repent, all of you shall likewise perish. Next verse, 6. He spoke also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit therein, and nothing was there. Now, we got a tree here, and sought fruit thereon, and there was none there. So he said, this is a parable. This is a picture of how the kingdom works. So let's go verse 7 and see what else he says there after this guy come to look at the tree. Then he said unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years, now that's important. These 3 years, I come seeking fruit on this fig tree. Now then, you and me are that tree. We're that fig tree. Our bodies are the trees. He calls us trees. came seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. What is the command there? Cut it down? Why cumbereth the ground? In other words, we don't see this like it's written. He's trying to give us an example that I come to my garden, my children, and I'm the vine and you're the branches. And every branch in me that produces no fruit, I cut it off. Every branch. In other words, we read these scriptures and they don't mean anything to us. This is a scary verse. In other words, first of all, the dresser comes by and he says, you see that fig tree right there? I've come by here the last 3 years in a row. And it's fig season. And there ain't no figs on the ground or on this tree. This tree's useless. It ain't producing no fruit. Cut it down, throw it in the fire. See, we read that not really. He's talking about us. If we're not doing something for the kingdom, we're not producing fruit. You know, you think about this story I told y'all a few weeks ago about the lady down in Mississippi. You know, that great Christian, went to church, used to be a Sunday school teacher, used to be a song leader, used to sing solos in the church, and she was all healthy. And then she decided that she would quit singing. She had quit doing these things, and she'd just come to church and tithe and be a good steward and do nothing. Just listen. She comes down with cancer, breast cancer. She goes to a doctor. The doctor gives her chemo for several treatments and then tells her, we've got it in remission. Come back in 6 months and we'll check it again. Well, 6 months later, she come back and the doctor checked it and said, ma'am, I'm sorry. It's come back with a vengeance. You will be dead in a few weeks. There's nothing we can do. It's too far gone. It's all over your body. So she was really, really upset that she was fixing to die. She wasn't old enough to die. She didn't want to die. And so she come to her pastor this time. And the pastor told her, he said, you know, Thurman keeps telling us that there's a sickness that cannot come upon us without a cause. So he said, ma'am, you had to do something. She said, well, what in the world could I have done? I have no idea. You know I'm a good woman. You know I come to church every time the door's open. You know I tithe. You know I walk in love. I don't hold bitterness or unforgiveness toward nobody. What could be my sin? He said, I have no idea. But she said, will you ask God for me? I thought, you know, isn't it amazing? Everybody wants somebody else to do everything for them. So he said, okay, I'll ask. So Jeremiah 33:3 said, Lord, what did this woman do to cause you to strike her with this terminal disease? And the woman screamed. She said, he spoke to me when you said, thank you for showing. He spoke to me. He told me, he said, you're not using the gifts I give you for my glory. So I'm taking you out. I'll give you the gift of singing. And you used to do a good job for me. But now you're not using it. You know? You're not using the gifts. You're not using the music. You're not using any of the gifts of teaching. You quit teaching a Bible study class. You just kind of think you just come to church for nothing. You just come and sit in the pew when it's over. You don't tithe. You don't do, no, she did tithe. Said, you just go home and think, I'm okay. No, he said, I told you to occupy till I come. There's not supposed to be any lazy people in the kingdom of God. You're supposed to be producing fruit for the kingdom of God. That's what the scripture backs that up. Every branch in me that bears no fruit, I cut it off. So she said, what can we do? Well, he said, you know, one thing, the scripture clearly says, if we repent, God will forgive us. Does it say that?
Yes.
Is he a merciful God?
Yes.
Are we glad?
Yes.
So she said, Lord, I repent. She gets down on her hands and knees and says, Lord, I repent. I will sing in the choir. I will do a solo. And all of a sudden, it's become easy to do something she didn't want to do before. Since she has a terminal disease. It just never ceases to amaze me what God can do with us when he gives us a spanking. And some of those spankings really hurt. So she said, Lord, I will teach a Bible study class. I'll sing in the choir. I'll sing a solo. I'll do anything. Lord, thank you for forgiving me. the pastor said, let's take you back down to that hospital. I want them to check you. I want to see what happened. They loaded her up and took her back down to the church, from the church to the hospital. They run her in there, and they hooked the machines up to her and done another test on her, and the doctor could not believe the woman that had terminal cancer now don't have a cancer cell in her body nowhere. So that pastor that happened to, he called me and told me that story himself. He said, I knew you'd love to hear this. I do love to hear those kind of stories, don't you?
Yes.
I mean, that girl is happy. So it ain't fun to be sick, is it, Miss Paula?
No,
it's not fun to be sick. We don't want to be sick. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Wow, 3 years I've been coming here looking for fruit on this tree. Now, what does that tell us about God? He's patient. He's merciful. You know, I'm going to tell you, let's say that I got a business and I'm running a business. And let's say Scott, he's one of the best employees you could ever have. He worked for me, let's just say. And I mean, he goes along and he works night and day and does such a good work. And one day I tell him, I said, Scott, I'm going to give you a couple weeks paid vacation. You're such a good employee and you work so hard. I'm going to give you a couple weeks paid vacation. And he said, well, great, I appreciate that. So he takes 2 weeks off with him and his family to go do something. They have so much fun in that 2 weeks, he calls back and said, Pastor, I had so much fun this last 2 weeks, I want another 2 weeks paid vacation. I said, well, now he really is a good employee. Now, if he really is a good employee, I might say, yes, I might say, okay. That's not normal, though, is it, Miss Paula? But I might say, he is super good. What is it? Okay, Scott, so you and your family have a good time. I'll send your paycheck home. So he goes and takes another 2 weeks, and they enjoy that. They call back and say, hey, Pastor, we enjoyed this last 2 weeks, so we want another 2 weeks. Now, wait a minute now. This is 6 weeks we're talking about now. How many of y'all know an employee that would do that for a person?
No.
It might go the four, right?
Yeah.
Might go the four, but six, forget it. Tell them. They said, well, we're not. We're just going to keep staying on vacation, send the checks home. Now, I don't care how good he is. I'm eventually going to stop sending him checks.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because if he's working for me and he don't make enough money to pay me and him both the money, I don't need him. Is that the way it works, Tony? You got to work, right? And see, the kingdom of God is no different, is it, Scott? The Lord expects us to do something and produce fruit for his kingdom, doesn't he? And when we do, now just think, this is pretty merciful. Miss Paula, he's come by here every season for 3 years now, and he ain't found no fruit. No cakes, no pies, no nothing. In other words, they hadn't been doing nothing for the kingdom. See, like you girls here, y'all been making all kinds of good stuff for the kingdom. See, now the Lord's seeing that fruit. I guarantee he knows exactly what you've done, all of y'all. He knows what you're doing. And he loves it for his children to produce fruit for his kingdom. Does he not? That's what he says. So, wow. So anyway, let's go on here. He says, cut the tree down. Cut it down. Wow. There's one of those over that I really don't like over in the book of Matthew. He says, cut the tree down and throw it in the fire. It produced no fruit. And I thought, you know, he's talking about us. If we produce no fruit for the kingdom, he cut us down and throw us in the fire. Where is the fire? That's in hell. You wouldn't want to go there, would you? Ooh, no. But cut it down. Why cumbereth the ground with it? Let's see verse 8. Let's see what that says. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this one more year. Lord, one more year. Till I shall dig around it and dung it. Next verse. And if it bears fruit, well. And if not, after that, we can cut it down. How many times have we seen in this church people that come here that their tree is being cut down? and they're sick and afflicted, and their life, it looks like, is over. And they repent and tell God they're sorry and make Him a promise, Lord, I will produce fruit for Your kingdom. And how many times have we seen Him forgive us and heal us and restore us and make us awesome? Have we seen Him do that a few times? Many times. Isn't it amazing that when you begin to read the Scripture at face value, you begin to see what it says? And it does say, if that tree don't produce fruit next year, you know, if that won't light your fire to go do something good for Jesus, your wood's wet. Really wet. I'm not ready to be cut off yet. Are you, Franz? I want to produce fruit for the kingdom, don't you?
Absolutely.
Amen. Wow. Father, we just praise You and thank You for this awesome day. We thank You and praise You for Your word. We thank You and praise You that You're the one that gave us this book and You're the one that wrote this book, so we know this book is true. So Lord, help us to produce fruit for Your kingdom. Help us to be about Your business. Help us to realize that sons and daughters of the Most High God, this is not a free ride. It's not a free ride. We're supposed to be doing something, producing fruit for the kingdom of God, because You told us over in John 15, 2, every branch in You, which we are the branches, every branch in You that bears no fruit, You cut it off. Lord, we don't want to be cut off. We want to live a long, healthy, prosperous, successful life, and we want to be used mightily for Your kingdom. Thank You for giving us all another chance, and may this next year, may we be fruitful and successful and prosperous and healthy, and may we do great and wonderful things for the kingdom of God. May we bring many people into the kingdom. May we just be about Your business. Now, Lord, we ask You, by the power of the Holy Spirit, may You direct everything we do this next year, and may we do great and wonderful things for the kingdom of God. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Now then, this week, if you haven't voted, get out and vote this week, because this may turn out to be the most unusual presidential race we've ever seen. I also heard this morning that Miss Hillary Clinton will be picked up. She will be arrested, and she will be tried for treason. And to think, this is a person that was running for president of the United States, but she's going to be picked up by the FBI, and she's going to be tried for treason. Oh, goodness. But I don't think it's going to stop there. I think there's several more going down with her. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God cleaned out Washington, D.C.? Oh, Lord, Lord, we know that those boys and girls up there, they need help. And, Lord, we know we have the power to help them. So, Lord, You told us to pray for the leaders of this land. So, Lord, we ask You to be merciful to them boys and girls up there. We ask You to show them the truth, get them straightened out, lined up, let them produce fruit for the kingdom. And, Lord, we thank You for bringing the republic back into existence. Bringing our wonderful republic, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord, for giving us the republic back. Thank You, Lord, for taking out the IRS. Thank You, Lord, that we won't have to worry about the IRS. This thing is coming to pass. And it's the best thing I've seen in my 77 years of life. There's going to be no more IRS. I don't have to pay no more income tax. It'll all be done but with a 14% sales tax as we buy things that are new. If we buy old things, you won't even have to pay any taxes. It's going to be a wonderful thing. And the working man is going to go back like it was 100 years ago in the Republic. The working people had to pay no income tax. So, Lord, that will be wonderful if we have to pay no income tax, just a sales tax. That's how we'll support our country. And Lord, may you bless our country, and may we not hesitate to pray and bless our country, because you told us to do that so you can bless these people. So Lord, may you send us the right men and women to be presidents and lawyers and attorneys and whatever, you know, congressmen, senators. May you put the men in there that you want so we can be used of you for your glory. And Lord, put some good, godly people in the office. In Jesus' name, amen.